Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
So we want to welcome all of you to the service on today. We want to thank our radio listeners for tuning in this morning with us and joining us. Welcome to the Avon United Methodist Church, where you can experience the love. And do we have any announcements? Yes. Can we just stand up and clap and give, not ourselves. Here's something that we do, and I'm bringing some cultures. Can we just stand up and just, whatever way you feel like giving thanks to God, can we just thank God for everything that we're doing here for a few seconds? Can we just say, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we praise you, we thank you. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. That's beautiful, because if we heard a beautiful symphony, the way the harmonies come together and the way the different instruments all play and its beautiful symphony, doesn't God work the exact same way? Yeah. All of the elements, all of the different personalities. Bravo, God. Bravo. Right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay. So at this time, we are going to have our time of centering.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for sharing in that time of centering.
At this time, let us have our hymn, We Need a Faith. Time we will have our scripture reading by Bruce Amy.
For our New Testament reading today, John wrote his gospel approximately 55 years after Christ's crucifixion. He wrote his first-hand account of his time with Jesus to prove conclusively that Jesus is the Son of God and that all who believe in him will have eternal life. Today's reading from chapter 11 takes place as Jesus' friend Lazarus has died. Jesus went to comfort Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Here's the word of God. From verses 25 through 27, Jesus then said, I am the one who raises the dead to life. Everyone who has faith in me will live, even if they die. And everyone who lives because of faith in me will never really die. Do you believe this? Martha replied, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God. You are the one we hoped would come into the world. And from verses 35 through 44, Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But others said, Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone rolled against the entrance. He told the people to roll the stone away. But Martha said, Lord, you know that Lazarus has been dead 4 days. There will be a bad smell. Jesus replied, Didn't I tell you that if you had faith, you would see the glory of God? After the stone had been rolled aside, Jesus looked up toward heaven and prayed, Father, I thank you for answering my prayer. I know that you always answer my prayers. But I said this so that the people here would believe that you sent me. When Jesus had finished praying, he shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the man who had been dead came out. His hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of burial cloth, and a cloth covered his face. Jesus then told the people, Untie him and let him go. This is God's word for God's people.
Beautifully read. Thank you. At this time, we'll have our gift of music from our choir, led by Linda Roseborough.
As Jesus finished his prayer, a crowd of soldiers arrived, led by Judas, his betrayer. Jesus was quickly arrested and led away for a trial, first before the high priest, and then in front of Pilate. Despite his awareness of Jesus' innocence, Pilate gave in to the shouts of an unruly mob, which had been assembled by the chief priests and elders. Jesus was beaten and then led away to a place called Golgotha, where he was crucified along with two thieves. He was to suffer as if he were a criminal, being punished by the anguish of dying on a cross.
I will sing to the
Thank you.
the old rugged cross and I exchange it someday for a crown.
Thank you to our choir for an awesome ministry in music. Today I want to talk to you about if you would only believe. If you would only believe. I want to talk to you about a familiar text many of us know around the theme of Lazarus. In this story, we're looking at John chapter 11. And in this story, we have Lazarus, a man who is loved by Jesus. In this story, Lazarus falls sick. And Jesus loves Lazarus because this is Lazarus, the brother of Mary. Now, Mary was the one who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. In that story, Jesus was actually treated hospitably by this woman, Mary. And the leaders and the scholars and all of the people who kind of turned their nose up, they said, if he knew who was washing his feet and wiping his feet off, then he wouldn't allow her to do that if he only knew who she really was. But Jesus, in most of his responses, we can see he has a certain kind of preference for people who have some issues, who have stuff going on. Jesus kind of clings to these people because they have some things going on. And so you have Mary who washed his feet. Then you have Martha, because there's another instance where Martha told Jesus, Jesus, tell Mary to help me do the dishes because she's not helping me. She's sitting over there at your feet. And so Jesus says, well, Mary's choosing the best thing to do, which is to sit at my feet. But Martha is the busy one. She's the busy bee. And so here's the thing, what I want you guys to understand. Don't despise the way other people work out their salvation. That's one thing I just want to tell you about this dynamic between Mary and Martha. Because some people work. That's what they know to do. This is how they serve the Lord, right? They work at it. Others, they read and reflect and are hospitable and, you know, do things. And this is their gift. Don't despise the gift of someone else because each and every one of us have a gift. And this is why Jesus loved these people. And so now let me just tell you something about this Jewish culture. Because see, in the Jewish culture, women are not respected. And so when Mary and Martha send word to Jesus, they say, the one who you love is sick. It starts out with a sickness. But let me tell you why this is so detrimental, why this is so important to know. Because if Lazarus dies, the way that this culture is set up is that women don't have any rights. See, women had to have a husband to teach them the word or explain to them the Torah, or they had to have a husband in order to transact deals, or they had to have a husband in order to own land or anything that would keep them in their social location or their economic stability. And so since the Bible never tells us that Mary or Martha had a husband, then it depends on Lazarus, their brother, to speak for them. So this is the situation. If Lazarus dies, Mary and Martha lose their way of life. That makes sense? And so the one who you love is sick. And so this is bringing them to a place of despair because Lazarus is the man of the family. If something happens to him, our way of life will be lost. So what happens is Jesus gets word and he's troubled. Because while Mary and Martha are in their situation and in their dilemma, Jesus has a dilemma as well. Because see, the city where they live, the Jews want to kill Jesus. They want to kill him because Jesus is out here and every time he comes into the city, people's faith is rekindled and people come to be healed and to be delivered and to hear a word that will change their lives. And so they're no longer going to the Jewish synagogue. They're going out to the farm. They're going out to the side of the hill. They're going out to the mountain to hear this word that is going to change their lives. And so every time Jesus comes in, he's breaking the rules. He's talking with sinners and eating with tax collectors. And he's doing all these different things that the Jews are like, why is he doing that? We don't do that. How can he call himself the Son of God and he's eating with other people? People that we don't eat with. People that we don't talk to. How could he possibly be the Son of God? We are Abraham's seed and he doesn't belong to us. And so now, because people's faith is being recharged and being rekindled, now the Jews and the religious leaders want to stone him. And so it's really dangerous for him to go into the city. And Jesus and the disciples know this. And so what ends up happening is Jesus has a conversation with his disciples and he says, You know what? We have to go back there. And they said, Jesus, why do we have to go back there? And he says, well, because Lazarus is asleep. And they said, well, it makes sense. If he's asleep, he'll wake up, right? So we don't have to go back there and get stoned. It's dangerous to go back there. We don't want to go there. And so Jesus has to tell them plainly, listen, Lazarus is dead, okay? Put a pin in it, right? Lazarus is dead, and we have to go back there. And so Thomas, he's in this conversation too. And you know Thomas, he's the doubter, right? And so when I was reading this story, I was like, Thomas kind of sounds like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. And so he says, he's dead. Oh, okay, well, I guess we all have to go back because Jesus is going to get stoned anyway. So we might as well go and die with him. It's kind of dragging along. And so then he says, listen, this sickness is not going to end in death. This is not for death. This is so that God can be glorified. And so they go back to Judea and they go back to this place in Bethany. And so as soon as they get there, Martha hears that he's there, but he's not really there. Like he's right outside of the line. And so he has to kind of stay there, trying to kind of like keep his distance from being arrested and being stoned. And so he's kind of playing it safe because, you know, he's got all these other guys with him and they're at risk too. And so he stays outside. And so Martha runs to him and she comes to him and she says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now remember, Martha is the busy one. She's the one that always has to do something. Like something has to be done when despair and hopelessness comes. And so she says, if you would have been here, something would have been done. You would have done something. Now mind you, in John's gospel, he says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So now Martha is going to the Word of God, saying that if the Word of God would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That's really deep. I want you to think about that later. But you're in a city with Jews and they have the Torah and they have all of this religious stuff and all of these books and scrolls. And you mean to tell me that the Word of God wasn't alive and moving and breathing and active in this city? Jesus says, listen, I want you to believe. I want you to believe in the resurrection. Do you believe in the power of God? And Martha says, yes, I will believe. Here's the key that I want you to know in this story. When you have a conversation with the Word of God, when you have this conversation, he says, do you believe this? It takes the agreement to believe in the Word of God for the faith to be activated. Does that make sense? In order for your faith to bring forth the type of healing and deliverance and things that it needs, we have to agree with the Word of God. Do you believe this? He asks. Yes, I believe. We have to believe in the truth. And so he has this conversation. Then she sends for Mary. Now, Mary is back at the house, and they've been having a funeral for 4 days. In this society, they have professional mourners. These are people who, just humor me a little bit, people who sit at the well and drink gallons of water, and then they come to your house just to cry. And they've been crying for 4 days. And so Martha, she sends this word and she says, listen, the Lord is here. And she says it very quietly because Jesus is going to get stoned. And if the Jews, the synagogue Jews, if they catch word of it, they're going to come and they're going to try to arrest Jesus. And so here's the thing. They don't want Jesus to get arrested, not only for the spiritual reasons, but Lazarus is their breadwinner. Lazarus is the one who has to speak for them. Their economic and social status depends on Lazarus. So, of course, they don't want Jesus to get arrested before they see what he's going to do. Here's the point. Don't arrest the Word of God until you see what it's going to do. Now, Mary, she jumps up. Mary doesn't do anything because she wouldn't wash the dishes last time, right? So all of a sudden, she jumps up and she runs out to go to meet Jesus, away from everybody else. But here are these professional people. Some of them are nosy, just let's be honest. Some of the people that come to mourn are just being nosy. They really don't care about what's really going on. They get up and they see Mary, she's moving quick. So we need to go find out. Maybe she's going to the tomb. She's going to mourn. We need to go cry there, right? They're going to cry at the tomb. And so she goes out and she meets Jesus. And she says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Same opinion, same story, same complaint. But here's the thing that God appreciates. At least you're having this conversation with the Word of God. not about the Word of God. No, she's having this conversation directly with the person who can do something about it. Because who can do something about this situation? The Word of God, right? God can do something about it. So here's my encouragement for just that little point. When you're having something and you're going through something, there's so much despair around you, talk to people who can do something about it. Don't talk to people who can't. So she says, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And so all of the people, they're all crying and they're all sad and they feel bad. Some of them feel bad because Lazarus is dead. Some people feel bad because of Mary and Martha's situation because they can't do anything about it, right? And so Jesus was moved. This is the shortest scripture in the Bible. Jesus wept. Why is this significant? Because when we feel pain, because of the humanity of Christ and the consubstantial nature of Jesus who is Christ, God feels pain. Whenever we're sorrowful, God is sorrowful. Whenever we're happy, God is happy. Whenever we're weeping, God is weeping. And so this shows that God in the flesh that we call Christ Jesus is weeping for them. He's moved by the situation. So he weeps and he says, where have you laid him? And now we get to my good preaching point that I really wanted to get to. I said, we laid him over here in a tomb. And the Bible says we laid him in a tomb, which is actually a cave. And when you put a rock over a cave or you put a stone over a cave, first of all, you have to make the stone large enough to cover the hole. And when you put it there, it's there for no exit, no entry. How many of us have laid some things that were once alive, ideas and ministry, hopes and dreams and visions that we once wanted to do, and then we put them away in a cave and put a stone over it and locked it away, and so we say, no exit, no entry. It's a dead thing. I've cried over it. I gave up on it. And he says, where have you laid it? I put it in a tomb. I wrapped it up, and I put it in a tomb. Put a rock over it. He says, you know what? The Word of God said, and he's saying to us today, and this is what I want to share with you. Roll the stone away. Whatever emotions, whatever things you've been dealing with, whatever dreams or hopes that you once put away, roll the stone away. Let it get some air. Let the light shine in there. And Jesus says, the Word of God says, Lazarus, come out of there. He had to name it. Call it by name. Whatever that thing is, call it by name. Come out of there. Because if you would only believe, Jesus says, that you will see the salvation of the Lord. I have the power to bring things that were once dead back to life. And so Jesus prays and he says, Lord, I thank you for hearing me. The reason why I'm saying this out loud, God, is because I need the rest of these people to believe that you can bring dead things to life. You are the example that God can bring dead things to life. Things that were once hopeless, situations that were once dead in your lives, God can bring it back to life. And so he says, come out of there, Lazarus. And then when he came out, he was still bound. Let me tell you something. Even though you let something out, doesn't mean that it isn't still bound. Because the Word of God had to give another command. Unbind it and let it go. Unbind it. Take the shackles off of your thinking. Name it and take the shackles off of it. Let it loose. Let your gifts flow. Take it out. Let it go. Unshackle it. Live. Live. Right? So my encouragement to you this week, my disclaimer, don't go crazy, right? But pick up that thing that is once dead. Whatever area that's been put in a cave and you've locked it away because we're too busy or we can't do it, rekindle that fire again. That's my challenge. Rekindle. Bring those dead things back to life through the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So our hymn, this is the day that the Lord has made. And so as you're reflecting on rekindling some things and thinking about some of the joys that you want to share, and your challenge this week is to unbind some things that have been dead, some things in your prayer life, let's go to "This is the day that the Lord has made." So before we sing that, I'm going to say the benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, dominion, majesty, and power. Go forth today and know that the power of God has some power to bring some old dead things back to life. This is the day that the Lord has made.
This has been Living Our Baptismal Calling, Believe, with Pastor DJ Robinson from April 2nd, 2017. Another take on the Lazarus story with social, cultural, and spiritual ramifications of the event portrayed through descriptive narrative. This story illustrates bringing hopelessness back to life. We need to take the shackles off our own thinking, unshackle it, and live.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.